And welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. We are broadcasting live from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in Baltimore, Maryland. And grateful to be with you today, friends. And our theme all week long in the Grace Hour is what it means to be a Christ follower. Today, our subject will be engaging with God in praise and worship. Yeah, I'm very happy to be able to let you know that we're joined in the studio today by someone who leads a lot of that praise and worship in our church services, a good friend of mine. We have been co-laboring together by God's grace in his work now for a number of decades. That's Pastor Sturge Gorham. He's joining us live in the studio today, and he'll be our co-host. My name is Pastor Love, and we're grateful to be with you on this Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon or evening, wherever you may be tuning in and listening to the live edition of the Grace Hour. And of course, those of you maybe, of course, listening to the program as it's archived a little bit later when you have the opportunity. But whatever the case may be, we're grateful that you've tuned in today. And we think that this is a wonderful theme. And there's a lot of benefits, Pastor Sturge, with praise and worship. We hope to touch upon some of those today. We do want to remind our listeners that the chat's available, and we'd like to hear what your thoughts are about praising God, worshiping God, especially perhaps in times of trouble, in times of great difficulty, in times when, for lack of a better way of saying it, Pastor Sturge, when you don't feel like it.
Yeah. It's funny. We were just talking before the program how if you've ever driven on the Beltway in Baltimore, you know what it can be like. And the spirit of road rage is everywhere. And there's actually an atmosphere that's you can just sense it in the air. And a lot of times when I'm driving, I'll just start singing. I'll just start worshiping God in the car, putting on the worship music and singing to the Lord. And it just dispels that tension. And you know what, it's so interesting. You spoke about just now about even when things are hard, this is when we worship God. And I just thought of this the other day. I've never thought of it before, but in the Gospel of Mark, right before Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, right before he went to Calvary. And I don't know if I've ever heard a message preached on this before, but in verse 26 of Mark 14, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. That's all it says. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Can you imagine the last thing that Jesus did with his disciples before the olive press, before all hell broke loose upon him, was he sung a hymn with his disciples. Who knows what that hymn was? Maybe it was Psalm 27. You know, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When all my enemies come against me, you know, and one verse, I love Psalm 27. It's an amazing song. You know, we tend to look at the Psalms as just, and it's scripture, but they were songs that David wrote. And I can just picture Jesus and his disciples singing a psalm about this. And it says, though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, even then in this I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Verse 5, in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter. Mm. And they're singing this. They're not quoting this. They're singing it together. And I thought, what a way to enter into the final moments of Jesus' life was with a hymn.
Wow, that's beautiful. You know, the Word of God has a lot to say about praise and worship. The purpose behind it as it relates to singing, praying, dancing even before the Lord is to create an intimate space between you and God himself. And, you know, that allows him to speak directly to your heart in such a way that you are drawn nearer to God. So the connection between praise and worship and engaging God in those processes, really a result. The results are he's glorified, and then we go deeper into the identity that we have in him. So imagine praise and worship help us to be established in our identity. You know, in so many people are faced today with an identity crisis. You know, we live in a world where people experience that so often. They just don't know who they are. And if you don't or haven't come to some sense of who you are, then it's difficult to really undertake any tasks in life. You know, you can't really tackle life if you're still struggling to find out who you are in life. But praise and worship helps us to go deeper in that sense of identity. Now, a good working definition for identity is a conscious sense of our individual uniqueness. And we find that and we discover that through praise and through worship.
It's what are the most popular songs that have ever been written? Excuse me. They're love songs.
Wow.
They're love songs.
Yeah, that's
right.
The
most popular songs ever written are love songs. And what is the Bible? It's God's love letter to us. And what is worship? It's just a love song back to God. And it's receiving and giving back. And you know what I think, Pastor Love, why it's so important, especially when we're in trouble, to have to have this worship? Because it bypasses the objective, analytical mind that says, why is this happening to me? Why is this trouble coming upon me? And it bypasses that analytical mind, and it goes right to the heart of God and says, it doesn't matter. Father, it doesn't matter what's going on. I think of that song, It Is Well With My Soul, written by a man who lost his business, entire business in the Chicago fires, lost his son to illness, and then lost his four daughters on a cruise ship. And then he turns around and he pens the words, this amazing hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, when peace like a river attendeth my way. You know, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. That's not natural. That's not analytical. That's faith.
Yeah.
That's looking past that and into the heart of God.
And as you say that, for people that are listening today going through great trial, overwhelming difficulties, sorrow, heartache, suffering, we're reminded that the scripture says, count it all joy when you go through these kinds of times, knowing that God is at work. And there's going to come a point in time where you're going to praise and thank God for those things that you go through, which are not pleasant at the current time, right? I mean, no trial in its current moment is pleasurable or enjoyable, but we know that it's beneficial, that something good is going to happen. And oftentimes the best way to help understand that is by bringing God praise, even when it's difficult. But I love the fact that, well, Jesus said these words in Luke 6:45, he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So praise really comes from the heart. And if our hearts are right as we go through the tests and trials and difficulties of life, we're bound to see God, and we're bound to get through it and get to the other side of it and see God glorified. And again, our identity is established.
Yeah. I think one of the greatest examples of that, and also I was just thinking when you were talking how, what did Jesus say? They that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we get back to that. It's the truth of who God is in the midst of our trials. It's the truth of who God really is and who we are as his children. But I love, and you, and I'm sure you love the story as much as I do, in 2 Chronicles 20, when all of Israel's enemies, all of Judah's enemies were coming against them, and King Jehoshaphat is just crying out to God. It says they all stood before the Lord in verse 13, 2 Chronicles 20, 13, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their children and their wives. And then what happened? The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. And what did he do? He spoke the word. And what did the Lord say? Be not afraid or dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it is God's. They heard the truth from God's word. And what did it cause them to do? I love it. Verse 21, when they had consulted with the people, he appointed singers to sing to the Lord and praise him in their holy garments as they went out before the army, saying, and this was their song, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. That was their song. And they sang it, and as they began singing, the Lord set ambushments against the enemy and destroyed the enemy.
Come on. You're going to battle. You're going to war, and you're going to put your singers out front. I mean, naturally speaking, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Who in their right mind, as you know, someone who's leading a military campaign, would do such a thing? Well, God would.
Yeah.
Because that's how victory is won.
Yeah.
Through praise, through worship.
Yeah. But and that praise was the result of a word from God. They heard the word from God, and it was said, okay, let's go. Let's go. God's gonna do it. And so they already knew the battle was theirs, and
amazing.
They just, by faith, sang it.
And, you know, for those that are listening today and they find themselves at the edge of a Red Sea-like experience, okay? Mountains to your left, mountains to your right, if you're the children of Israel in the book of Exodus. Pharaoh's hard-charging army now pursuing you. Pharaoh regrets letting the children of Israel go. He wants back all of that slave labor, and he pursues them. And you've got nowhere to go but a Red Sea in front of you. You know, a lot of our listeners today may be facing a set of circumstances similar to that. I've got no options. I've got no place to go, nothing to look to except God himself. Well, you know what the best thing you could do at that moment is? Write a song of victory before God even gets you there. Because Miriam, on the other side, when God brought the children of Israel through the Red Sea on a red carpet, she wrote a song of victory. So if you don't know what to do at the present moment, a good piece of advice from God would be, write down a song of victory.
Yes.
You know, it's a lot like David in Psalm 42, you know, where he is, his soul is cast down. I mean, he just doesn't know what to do. And he says these words, and he repeats them in Psalm 42. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? And then listen to what he says. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. He said, it's going to happen. I'm going to find myself at that place where God is exalted and God is worshiped and God is praised. So why not prepare our souls now to praise him, even before we see the reality of the victory?
Wow. You know what it makes me think? Two songs I remember from our trial way back in Lenox when we lost our property. Two songs. One was a song that Pastor Stevens would sing, and it was, come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and walk with me to my Father's house where there's joy, joy, joy. And then he'd have another verse and another, and he would just be singing this in the midst of it, you know? And then the other song was a song that Pastor Schauer taught us. You remember it, right? That we sing all the time.
Help me out.
Come on. The song that we sing. I've got something that the world
can't give
and the world can't take it away.
Yeah.
I've got something that the world can't give and it keeps me day by day. Oh, I've got something worth talking about. It makes me sing and it makes me shout. Hey, I've got something that the world can't give and the world can't take it away. But there were two songs I still remember that that released us.
Yeah.
Because it's truth. It's truth. It's truth set to music. It's truth that it bypasses the analytical mind. And it goes right to the spirit.
Wow. Well, listen, only someone who leads in praise and worship could get me to sing on the Grace Hour. That's a first there today. And I want to apologize to our listeners because they had to hear it from me. But you're right. There's something liberating about praise and worship. Mm. Not only does it bring us into a closer fellowship with God, but it satisfies our souls. Mm. Because weren't we made by God for worship? Didn't He create us for that very purpose? And don't we overcome, as you shared a moment ago from Chronicles, don't we overcome our enemies by the word of our testimony?
Mm.
Yes, that really happens. So, yeah, our souls are satisfied. I think also, Pastor Sturgeon, I think that there's a biblical premise for this, that it can actually repel depression in our lives.
Mm.
And depression and discouragement is something that believers struggle with. They deal with it, some perhaps less or even more than others. But listen to this, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. God says that, you know, the Messiah would bring a message to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for their mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified.
Mm.
I mean, that sounds to me like worship, praise, a soul that is singing psalms and hymns to God can be delivered out of a state of depression.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I'm not suggesting that if believers are dealing with depression, that this is the cure-all, the end-all for everyone listening today. But, I mean, it seems to me that if the soul were to practice this kind of praise and worship, that the benefits seem to be endless.
Yeah. You know what, too? If you don't have a song in your heart, then listen to them. Listen to them. You know, for years, my wife and I, every morning we get up, every morning. We've done it since our kids were little. And we put on worship, praise and worship music every morning. It's just, we've done it for years. And it just sets the stage for our day. And you might wake up a little tired, a little lethargic, but you'd put on the music. And then next thing you know, you're singing some of the songs. And it just dispels that heaviness, like you said. It dispels the spirit of heaviness. And it's wonderful. It's just a wonderful way to, I think worship music is the greatest defense against the devil. That's one of the greatest defenses against the devil is just worship music, singing. Because he can't stand it. What's he going to do, right? They overcame the devil by what? The blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And we sing that word. We not only speak that word, but we sing that word, like you said.
You know, the cell in which the Apostle Paul found himself in Acts chapter 16, I believe it was Paul and Silas that were imprisoned there because of their faith. And they decide at midnight to sing praises to God. I mean, we're talking about, you know, midnight. What is that? That's the darkest hour.
Mm.
Tell me that there's not a relationship between singing, worshiping, praising God, and the darkest hours of our lives.
Mm.
And that's when God decided to deliver them from their jail cells. And on top of that, lead the Philippian jailer to Christ, who no doubt impacted his whole house and his whole family. There's just something amazing about praise and worship during those moments when it's the last thing we want to do. But it may be the best thing that we could do under those circumstances. Now, someone would say, well, you know, if it's not, if I can't feel it, if it's not genuine, if it's not authentic, but listen, God is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship, whether we feel like it or not, he's still worthy. And it would always be the right thing for us to do. So we would disregard what our emotions may be crying out for, which is, to, you know, we should be lamenting, we should be suffering, we should be singing a song that's entitled, Woe is Me. But instead, like Paul and Silas, we begin to worship God. We begin to praise God. How can you do that? You've been beaten, imprisoned, falsely charged in Philippi for the gospel's sake. And yet we find believers today that, you know, their attitude might be, well, you know, if any little thing goes wrong in my life, there's no reason to praise God. I just need everything to be calm and peaceful and secure, no trouble, no problems, no difficulties. I don't think that that's the Christian life.
No.
The Christian life is filled with some of those challenges, and yet it's also filled with praise and worship.
Yeah. And Paul was operating on a promise that God gave him the day he got saved.
That's right.
Which was, you will suffer for my sake.
Wow.
So that's my promise to you, Paul. So Paul had settled that in his heart from day one. I'm going to suffer. So because he settled it, he was able to worship at midnight after receiving a beating. And the whole theme of the Grace Hour is following Jesus, right?
Yeah.
What did he do? He followed Jesus into that prison. That's what he did. He followed Jesus. Where I am, Jesus said, there will my servants be also. Jesus is in that prison. Why? Because he had people that he wanted to save. This wasn't just about Paul and Silas, too. This was about the jailer. This was about the other prisoners around them. And I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday who's had to go to the hospital a lot, and we were saying how, isn't it interesting, when we're in the hospital or at the doctor's and there's something, you know, wrong with us, we automatically turn inward instead of outward.
Yes.
And it's like, wait a minute. Paul's thinking, wait a minute, let's worship God. And what happened as a result of his singing hymns and praise? The prisoners were listening.
Wow.
The prisoners were listening to him. They had an audience. He had an audience. And as a result, I think God was so happy with it, he just said, okay, I'm just gonna send an earthquake. But he also had the jailer and his family in mind. I'm going to save them, and I'm going to use this hymn. I'm going to use this hymn as a part of that salvation process.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Don't you think that praise and worship done in spirit and in truth creates almost a protective wall around your heart so that the tests and the trials and the trouble cannot penetrate your heart because through praise, through worship, through glorifying God, as a practice and as a habit in the life of the believer, you've actually served to build some kind of a protective wall around your heart so that these things cannot reach you and wreak havoc in your soul. Paul gives some clear instructions when he writes to the church at Ephesus, and beginning in the 5th chapter, the 15th verse, he says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Practical illustrations as to how we should live our lives. And I love the fact that he says, addressing each other, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with your heart.
Beautiful.
How great is that advice to churches, to believers everywhere?
Wouldn't that be great if we did that instead of talk about the news all the time? You know, you took that verse right out of my mind. That was the same verse I was thinking of.
Praise God.
Exactly.
Well, it's because great minds think alike.
I know. And two brain cells are better than one, right?
That's right.
But I love the verse before. How do most Christians deal with stress and difficulties? They take a drink.
Yes.
Many Christians take a drink.
You have to take the edge off. It's the only way you can deal with life.
They self-medicate. Like, come on. This is God's answer. You want medication for your soul. This is it. Just go to verse 19. Skip the drink in verse 18 and go to verse 19. It's like you said earlier, we're released because I like what the Amplified says. He says, speaking out to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and making melody in your heart to the Lord, you know. But it's all based upon verse 20. We're thankful. We're just thankful. We're not thankful. We might not be thankful, like you said earlier, we might not be thankful for the trouble, for the bad marriage, for the bad job, for the boss, for whatever, for the kids that are going astray. But we're thankful that God is faithful. Mm. And that's where hymns like Great is Thy Faithfulness came from. Well, Great is Thy Faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. It's about him.
Yeah. It exalts God.
It's about him.
And isn't that the reason why we exist?
Yeah.
So that our souls can magnify the Lord. I mean, Mary said that when God chose her, called her to be the means whereby Christ would come into this world. We read about it in Luke's gospel. She just said, wow, you know, my soul has this great opportunity to magnify the Lord. Mm. And what a better way to magnify the Lord than with our attitudes, our actions, our voices, our lips, you know? I often think of that verse that we read about in the book of Hebrews that says, well, I'm going to turn over there and read it because I want to make sure I get it right for our listeners today. But apparently there was a time when the Old Testament rabbis could see a day where all sacrifices offered to God would be completed, that there would never again be the need for any more sacrifices, with one exception. And that's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. It says that through him, Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Mm. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name.
Wow.
They saw a day when every sacrifice would no longer be necessary, with one exception, the sacrifice of praise.
Wow.
Giving thanks to his name. I mean, just learn to sprinkle the gratitude on everything. You know, I got a video sent to me this morning by my daughter, and it was about our newest granddaughter. And she had her laid on the floor, and she's given her a couple of items. And one of the items is some kind of a toy that has Velcro, and it makes a scratchy, noisy sound. And then another item is hanging up above her, suspended above her, and she's looking at it. And my daughter just said, as she sent that video, she said, I'm just so thankful that she can see and hear. Mm. And I thought about that, you know, how we take for granted some of the everyday occurrences in our lives without being, it's so easy to be thankful, to be thankless,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
We can get into our cars and, you know, step into our car, start the car, look at the newer model car that's parked beside us and say, geez, you know, why don't I have a new car? Or we can step into our automobile and say, I'm so grateful that God has given me this transportation. Yeah. I can't imagine how I'd get around without it. Well, or, you know, when we make a purchase at a store or buy lunch, so grateful that God has provided this meal for me. So grateful for my family. So grateful that I can see and hear and walk. I mean, we could go on and on and on. We just don't want to lose sight of the gratitude because it does make all the difference in our lives.
Well, I think the reason why it's called a sacrifice of praise is because when I'm hurt, my first thought is I have a right to react. I have a right to get even. I have a right to have more than I have. And it's a sacrifice. The sacrifice is putting that right aside and saying, no, I will praise you. Lord, I will thank you for this peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch. Thank you, Lord, for this PB&J. I have food to eat today. And you know, when you were talking about that illustration with your daughter, I just read this from Fanny Crosby, actually. And it's a beautiful song that she wrote. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but she talks about when she was had no rent left. She had no money for rent, and she let's see where I think I have it. Yeah, right here it is. It's called "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." And the story goes that though this hymn expressed Fanny Crosby's lifelong testimony, it was prompted by a specific incident in 1874. One day, she didn't have enough money to pay her rent. Now, Fanny Crosby was blind, totally blind. And just as she committed the matter to God in prayer, a stranger appeared at her door and pressed a $10 bill in her hand before disappearing. It was that very moment that she needed. That night, she wrote the words to "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." And, you know, she was thankful, even for her blindness. She was thankful. And how many hymns? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hymns because of that attitude. And we're still singing them today.
Mm. I just think of the many times in Scripture where we're encouraged to just praise God. Psalm 47, verse 1, and then verses 6 through 7 reads this way, "Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. Sing praises to God." Sing praises. Mm. "For God is the king of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding."
Mm.
Isn't that beautiful?
Wow. With understanding.
With understanding, yes.
That's the key.
Well, you know, Jesus said, the Father is seeking worshipers. And a true worshiper worships God in spirit and in truth. So, I mean, we would be at a loss without the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives. The moment we receive Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit takes up residence and our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible goes on to say that we're sealed until the day of redemption, the physical redemption of our bodies by the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who enables us to worship and to praise God based upon the truth that we know about who God is. So I think that there's a wonderful connection because the more you know about God, the greater your capacity to worship Him. The more you understand about His nature and character, the greater the spirit of praise comes forth from your heart and from off your lips. So there's, you know, there's that's something to be said about learning the Bible, studying the Bible, maybe even enrolling in a Bible Institute or a Bible college so that you can have a better understanding of who God is, so that the Spirit has more to draw upon in terms of the truth that you've taking the time to deposit in your soul.
Beautiful. Worship. Remember, it's worth. Worship is based on God's worth. And we find out His worth by studying His word, you know. The other thing I was thinking, Pastor Love, is warfare. And we talked about it a little bit in the beginning, but I think one of the greatest hymns about warfare is Martin Luther's song, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." That hymn is one of the most amazing hymns about God's mind on warfare. And he wrote that in the midst of his battles against the whole established church back in his days. And, you know, those of you that know that song, it's incredible. "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never fail." I mean, we could just sing, but I suggest to the listeners, get a hymn book.
Yeah.
Get a hymn book and start reading some of the hymns, because they're doctrine. Their doctrine set to music.
That's right.
They're just filled with the word of God.
I know it.
You know?
And not to take away from the contemporary Christian music that we have today, which is great, but those old hymns, like you said, they just reek of Scripture, don't they?
Mm.
Scripture just drips from the lyrics because it's almost like you're singing the Bible.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just deeply encourages your heart.
Yes.
And I love the fact that sometimes you get an old hymn and then they put a contemporary twist to it.
Yes.
And that's a blessing as well.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, all of it in terms of praise and worship just is so vital. And I think praise and worship become that like opportunities to speak from your heart to the heart of God. It's like the deep calling unto the deep. Mm. And the peace and the spiritual tranquility that one experiences during times of, you know, profound worship, maybe worship where there's even the manifestation of the presence of God. Because I don't think that, you know, you could say that worship invites the presence of God, but I think even more than that, worship reminds us of the presence of God. Mm. It's not like he has to be invited.
Yeah.
He is an omnipresent God.
Yes.
But it allows you to see him. It allows you to experience his visitation.
Yes.
Whether it's on a personal level or on a corporate level, together with the body of Christ as you gather for church services or times of worship.
Mm. You know, many times when I feel a little bit dull, at church, I just picture in Revelation where it says Jesus walks in the midst of the candlestick. And I just picture him walking down the aisles, walking amongst his people, the glorified Christ. And it's like, it just snaps me out of that familiarity. No, the Lord is here. This is why we're worshiping. He's already here. He's walking. He's in our midst. And, you know, you start singing a song like, "This is holy ground. I'm standing on holy ground."
Yeah.
You know, I know there are angels all around, you know, and it's an awareness. It's just an awareness of that he's already here with us.
Yeah.
You know.
And I know that we might have listeners today that are saying, well, it's, you know, I like to praise and worship God too when good things happen, when blessings are poured into my life. But yet the illustrations that we've given today during our broadcast have not been under those kinds of circumstances. We're talking about Paul and Silas in prison. We're talking about Jehoshaphat facing enemies and armies that could potentially destroy them. We're talking about David, whose soul is in turmoil, but he says, "I'm going to praise God. It's just a matter of when I'm going to do it. I know it's going to happen." So we're talking about praising and worshiping God during difficult times.
Mm.
With the emotion attached to it, it could be, but perhaps even without it.
Right.
But that would be...
Maybe that glorifies God more.
I think it does.
Right?
I think it does.
Yeah.
So we're not presenting a program today that says, listen, when life is great, when all is well, that's when you want to worship God. I'll never forget reading the story of these missionaries. Young missionaries went to the islands of Trinidad and Tobago, and they actually were ministering at one point to a colony of lepers. And it was their last day, and they had a great ministry of the Word of God and music and praise and worship. But they came to their final day, and the song leader said, "All right, do we have any requests before we, you know, we have to leave and go back to our respective homes in the United States, but does anyone have a request?" And he said that a woman kind of made her way through the crowd of people that were gathered, and she raised her hand, and he noticed that most of her fingers were gone because of the leprosy. And her face was greatly disfigured because the leprosy had taken its toll upon her. And she had her hand raised up in the air, and he said, "Yes, yes, you have a request. What is it?" And you know what her request was? "Count your blessings." And the song leader said he was just stunned for a moment. And he thought to himself, that's her favorite hymn. That's the song that she wants us to sing. What are her blessings? Leprosy has taken its toll on her life. Her body has been almost destroyed because of it. But she has found a way in her soul to count the blessings of God. He said that they sang it, and he said they sang it in a way that they had never sung it before. And he said, probably a way that we would never sing it again.
Beautiful.
That's worship.
Wow.
That's praise.
There it is.
Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And you'll be amazed, astonished to see what God has done. I mean, we could spend broadcast after broadcast counting the blessings of God. Because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
And that's why we praise him.
Amen.
Why we worship him. Well, before we wrap our broadcast up today, Pastor Sturge, any final thoughts on this all-important subject of praise and worship?
Well, I just want to maybe just read this last, let's call it, "He Leadeth Me." Just one verse. "He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort wrought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me." He leads us.
He does.
And our life is a song. Our life is a song of praise to God.
Amen. Well, Pastor Sturge, I'm grateful that you joined us in the studio today, because if I had to sing any of those hymns, the program would have been disastrous. But so grateful for your life of faith and for the praise and worship that God uses you to lead us in that area in a very special way, and we're grateful.
Well, we're counting our blessings, aren't we?
Yeah. Amen. We really are.
And we forget them not. Psalm 103, right?
Praise God.
We forget not all his benefits.
And friends, I know that maybe some of you that say, you know, I this is a good program. I appreciate all the thoughts that were shared, and I wish I could praise God. But maybe you can't at this moment and in this hour. That's all right. Just do what David did. Hope in God, and you will yet praise his name.
Amen. Beautiful.
Hope in God. You will praise him. Friends, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And we want to remind you to join us for the Friday edition of the Grace Hour coming up, a little less than 24 hours from now. And again, just grateful for the opportunity to be with you. Have a great day. And join us tomorrow at the same time.